Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
That's Bobby Darin bringing us back 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, the new one, The Third Ingredient with a number 3.com. Mark Lieberstein is here. Mark's a new friend, but not for long. He's co-chair of the franchise group and retail and consumer goods industry team at Kilpatrick and Townsend Law Firm. Mark, thanks again for being here. We're talking about the assault, and I call it a pure assault on the franchise industry. It began with the Browning-Ferris ruling that the Obama administration took up, and we got to call it like it is, Mark. In a sop to the unions, the Obama administration allowed the assault on the franchise industry because unions look at the franchise industry as one of their last frontiers of untapped potential organized labor, and if they can somehow find a way to tie a franchisee, a Roto-Rooter franchisee out in Hoboken or Sheboygan to the mothership franchise, then they can make one attempt and organize all that. How far off am I on that, Mark?
Yeah, well, I think it's that, and I think it's a little bit more. I think it's also about control and maybe the deepest pocket. So in other words, there's a lot of tax money out there. If all of these franchisees are suddenly becoming employees, you know, states and governments get to tap maybe a little bit more on taxes. The deep pocket is franchisor to pay all those back wages and hour claims. And that's really what's going on, because it stems from this test.
Right.
It used to be that a franchisor was only really could be described as an employer if it had direct control over everything that the franchisee was
doing.
Like
they do over the mothership, the organization that spawns the franchises.
Correct. And what happened in Browning-Ferris back in 2015, the NLRB, and you're right, the Obama administration was behind it. In 2015, the NLRB decided, well, you know, we're going to add indirect control. And suddenly it was almost anything that the franchisor could have done to tell the franchisor how to operate the business suddenly became almost, it was like a, you know, any kind of standard. The standard became much broader. And
right.
It really opened the door for these joint employer liability claims. Now, I should also make the distinction. That's joint employer. So that's, you know, whether a franchisee becomes an employee. The other aspect of all this has been going on for quite some time, just really only saw more prominence recently in California with this decision, as we discussed before,
right.
This Dynamex decision.
Right.
And that's called the ABC test. And that's all about misclassification of employees as independent contractors. And that's really arguably more destructive, or could be more destructive than even the joint employer test.
Right. Right.
And the ABC test actually presumes that the franchisee is arguably an employee, and it's the burden on the franchisor, the employer, to prove that they aren't.
Wow.
And it's a very, very difficult test for a franchisor to succeed in proving, because one of the factors is that the employee is doing something outside the employer's business.
Mm-hmm.
And in almost every situation, a franchisor is doing some form of the business that the franchisee is doing. So it's almost impossible to get out of the ABC test standard. And if that's really going to be the standard going forward, there's a chance that lots and lots of franchisees, whether they want to be employees or not, may be employees.
Well, a couple of things we need to point out here. Folks, we're not talking about restricting the government from going after people who mislabel independent contractors, who mislabel employees as independent contractors. We don't begrudge the government of making sure that all employees all people who should be employees or all people who earn wages are paying their appropriate amount of payroll taxes. We're not talking about that. That's another. That's a separate thing. So don't let the government or argue proponents of this what's going on. Don't let them propose that's what it is. Don't let them lump that together, right, Mark? Sometimes they'll do that. And you talked about the tax situation. That's an example. And when you when I describe the union's attempt at this, they're part of this assault. And you describe the government taxation part of this. What we were basically describing was nothing less than a parasite attaching itself to a host that wasn't doing any harm, that was actually doing good for the ecosystem, and a parasite attaching itself to the host and sucking the life out of them. That's the way I see it. What do you think?
All right. Well, in fact, in a recent, very recent case, which involved McDonald's, the unions were exactly involved. And the National Labor Relations Board, under our new administration and the guidance of that, they actually found that there was no joint employer ability of the liability there, that McDonald's was not a joint employer. And that was a case where the employees were claiming that there was retaliation for union activity, mm-hmm. and they were blaming McDonald's, the mothership, as you put it,
right.
For the retaliation, and the NLRB said no. So arguably things are, I wouldn't say they're turning around completely.
Well,
but that
well,
is
the truth is coming forward. Reality is coming forward. Logic is coming forward. Reasonableness is coming forward, and the decisions are being turned. The beginning of this, folks, was an artificial assault for no business reason, not even a legal reason, just to say take care of some constituents like the unions. It all goes back to 2016 in the Obama administration. Tim Till, I'm Jim Blessing, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.